All right, let's continue our study of this letter. Let's read from verse 3 all the way to verse 6 and remind us what section we are. Let me read to you from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless before Him, in love He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Now, from this section, we're learning that our salvation is God's plan. And the whole the Bible is about then how God is carrying out His plan. And in verse 4, we see that He chose us in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. And the purpose is that we would be holy and blameless before Him. So here we see that our salvation is God's plan even before the foundation of universe. It wasn't that God just kind of create the universe and, you know, He sees then man, you know, sins and falls into sin. Then He thinks about, wait a minute, you know, I need to do something. I need to save these people. That is not what we see in the Bible. Bible is very, very clear. It teaches us that God had this plan, this salvation plan, even before the foundation of universe. And now He is carrying out that plan exactly according to His plan. Isaiah 46, let us go there and read Isaiah 46, verse 9. Verse 9 through 11. Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it. Now, it's very, very clear. Now, our God that we worship, God of the Bible, is almighty, all-knowing. He has power to carry out His plan. Go to Romans. Let's read one more verse in the New Testament then that says the same thing. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He will be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called, and these whom He called, He also justified, and these whom He justified, He also glorified. So again, everything works for the good of those who love Him. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Second Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. It says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Do you understand that even the grace that He pours out to us, that is even before the foundation of the universe, He granted this grace to us. So, definitely, salvation is according to God's plan, and it is God's work. Now, if you look at this section, it is filled with this language that clearly shows us that our salvation is God's work. If you look at verse 3, God is the one who blessed us with every spiritual blessing. If you look at verse 4, He's the one who chose us. He chose us before the foundation of the universe. And He's the one had a plan for us that we will be holy and blameless. Verse 5, He predestined us. See, again, here, it is God who predestined us. Everything is according to His plan. If you go down to verse 11, God is described as what? Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. God is described as someone who works all things after the counsel of His will. So it is very, very clear from this section that we're learning that salvation is His plan and His work. It's not about what we have to do, but it's about what God has planned and how He is accomplishing this plan. Now, we did look at verse 4 last time we looked at this. And the purpose is what? That He would make us what? Blameless and holy. But it's not just that you're going to be blameless and holy, but you're going to be a person who is blameless and holy in close relationship with Him. See, He could just make us blameless and holy and just made us live in a, I don't know, some place, and that He just did not want to have anything to do with us. Say, okay, you're blameless and you're holy, just live your life, be happy. And He just separates Himself from all of us. But that is not what we see. He's making us blameless and holy, but also as His sons. And this should bring so much joy to you. But maybe, that's the thing, as we're so used to hearing these things, there's no excitement when we hear this kind of stuff. Maybe very first time you heard it, you go, whoa, but for me, you know, as I hear it again and again, I get deeper meaning, and then excitement is increased. So here, verse 5, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. Not only that we'll be holy and blameless, but we'll be holy and blameless sons of God, adopted sons of God, that He has predestined this to come true, that He has planned this. Now, you know, this purpose that God has, and He's accomplishing this purpose, What is the first thing that he does to accomplish this, this purpose? The very first thing he does is he chooses us. That's the very first thing, choosing us. Right? Now we know that God has power to accomplish His plan. And you and I, we are the witnesses of that fact. That as you live your life as God's sons, as you go out and witness how you are truly saved, what are you doing? You're witnessing that God is a powerful God who accomplished His plan that He had even before the foundation of the universe. You are the witnesses of that fact. As you present yourself out there as truly sons of God. And that is why we can never give up on each other because of this very fact. See, if it is up to us, if our salvation is up to us, then I'm sorry to say to you this, but I would just give up on all of you and even give up on myself because I know you guys will never accomplish it. I know I can't. Think about it. If it is up to us, and knowing how you are and knowing how I am, are we confident that we're going to make it? Are we confident that you're going to make it? I'm sorry, but I don't have any confidence in you. I don't have any confidence in me. Because I know how I am. I know how you are. But because of this teaching, from God's Word, that it is God who had this plan, and it is God who is working out His plan to make you holy and blameless sons of God. Because I know that and I believe that, I will never give up on you. No matter how foolish things that you might do tomorrow, no matter how much you sin the next day, as long as you genuinely confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and that you believe, I cannot give up on you. Because I know that you, no matter how you think you are, you will make it. You will be a holy and blameless sons of God. The fact is, you are already holy and blameless sons of God. See, this is what helps us to treat one another in a proper way. You know, sometimes, you know, as a pastor, you know, you guys are the expert at disappointing pastors. You know, that's the job of congregation. I mean, you know, you guys have to disappoint me. And, you know, I guess my job is to disappoint you too, but... But when that happens, I still hope, I'm still confident that one day you're going to see me and I'm going to see you in that glorious place as holy and blameless sons of God. That is guaranteed by His Word. That will help me in this, the way that I treat you. You know, If it is all about us and no God, you know, God is not doing anything, then I could just say, man, forget you, man. I'm had it, you know, up to here with you. Forget it. I mean, that's so easily done. But I can't do that anymore after knowing the gospel. I can't do that to you, and you should never do that to one another. Because it's God's Word. It's guaranteed. You will one day be like Him, be like Jesus Christ. And spiritually, you are already like Him. So I want all of us to really look at one another in that terms. Don't look at just what's happening, you know, outwardly. Look at other people's inward being. God is living in all of us, and He's working even now. He's working to make you more and more like Christ. And He will never give up that work. Philippians 1:6 says, He who started this good work will never stop. He will finish it. And I think we should never forget that. Sometimes, you know, I see in the church, you know, some people do some stupid thing and, you know, we're so easy to just say, oh man, forget about that guy, forget it. But no, don't do that, because even that person will be glorious person. And he is already glorious person because of Jesus Christ. And we should look at one another in that term. You have to look how this glory is in me. And that's why, you know, I don't know, like, this is, I've been talking to Peter, I think, yesterday. You know, I need sunglasses to really look at you guys because you're shining so bright. I hope you see that shine in all of us. We should. This is not optional. We have to love one another because you're a reflection of Jesus Christ, that He is in you. And because of what the Bible teaches, that we'll all be like Him. It is His plan and His work. See, I don't know, you know, Calvinism, everybody think it's just so, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, all this negative expression of that. But because of Calvinistic understanding, because of what the Bible actually teaches, it gives us so much joy and so much understanding of how you know, God is doing things, that it changes our behavior. It changes how we think and how we react to one another, how we relate to one another. I have to look at you in terms of what He's doing. And you need to do that to me. I need to understand you and treat you in terms of what God is doing in you. God is doing in church. And we need to do this. That's why, you know, hating anybody in this church is just, it just cannot happen. That is not something that could happen. Because how can I hate someone when God loves him so much and He is working even now to make him more and more like Christ? I mean, how can that happen? I hope that whatever we're learning here, it's not just, you know, this knowledge that you just have it in your head. You know, I know I could recite certain doctrine. But see, these truths will, it has to dominate your life because it's truth. It has to dominate you in everything that you do and say and think because it is the truth. And especially church like OPC, we need to be careful because it just becomes then someone is like, oh yeah, I could recite that, you know, catechism, Shorto Catechism number 4 or whatever, you know. And yet if that truth doesn't, you know, dictate your life, dominate your life, then what is that? At least to you, it's not really true. So, you know, enjoy this kind of truth. Really be happy as you learn, you know, this kind of doctrine. You know, oh, yes, God had a plan and He is accomplishing it. And I am the witness to that. And rejoice. Because this plan cannot change. It will be completely and perfectly accomplished. Now, we are God's sons. And we did talk about this, I believe, like a month ago or something. So I'm not going to say the same thing there. But as a God's sons, you know, I don't want to embarrass Paul here, but, you know, him being my son, and Pauline too. Not my son, daughter. when they were younger, I guess as they grow older and older, they're kind of not like that anymore, maybe. Well, maybe I'm wrong, but when they're younger, they were so interested in finding out what I'm about to do. Like, you know, they're so excited about, you know, what I'm going to do that day. They want to know. They want to know, what are you going to do, Father? You know, what? Well, at that time they called me Dad. You know, Dad, you know. What? And sometimes I do that. I see that even today. But that's how sons are. They're so interested in what the Father is about, what the Father is doing. And as sons of God, I really hope that you are excited, you know, very interested about your Heavenly Father, what He's up to. And if you are that excited about that, then you will come to this book because you want to find out. You want to know what my dad, what your dad, Heavenly Father is up to. See, but maybe you grow older and maybe you're like too old. So you're not interested anymore. No. We're His sons. We are excited about knowing what our Heavenly Father is up to. And, you know, of course, we need the Holy Spirit. He's the one who enables us to call Heavenly Father, Abba Father. And He's the one who makes us understand what our Father is up to. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. So, you are not like that because this work of God, this present work of God in you, you have already made His sons. And see, this kind of, it is foolishness. They don't understand their foolishness. But what Father is up to, what He is about, are they foolishness to you? Is that why you ignore it so much every day? Because it is foolishness? Oh, of course not. Or because you just don't understand? No, of course not. So we need to really think about this. You know, we should have that excitement. And we should come to this book to really find out what our Heavenly Father is all about. I mean, did you ever think about this? I mean, do you do this in your life? You know, whenever you like read the Bible and there's this doctrine or there's this truth, and it just sticks with you all day. I mean, did you ever thought about what it means to be a son of God? If you really think about this, this is too amazing. Son of God. What does that mean? You know, sinner like us. And Bible describes sinners like us as warm or like just a man of no value whatsoever. And we're becoming a son of God, or we have already become son of God. I don't know. I don't have any word to describe this to you. I hope by the work of the Holy Spirit that you will be able to think about this and just be overwhelmed because this is amazing grace. I mean, God's plan was to make us His sons. This is amazing. Now, adopted sons. Of course, the only true Son of God is our Lord Jesus Christ. But in Him, we have been adopted. That's what our passage says, right? Verse 5, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. Adopted sons. Now, legally, adopted sons has the same right as the natural son. Now, that's why Romans 8 says, well, that we are co-heir with Christ. Now sons, they are the one who receives the inheritance from the Father. Now, our inheritance is God Himself. And we are a member of His family. And the Son of God, or son of anybody who is famous or who is important, automatically treated by other people as important person or valuable person because of his or her dad, her father. And we could apply that here. If our Father is God Himself, now, that brings us certain privileges and certain status. Of course, the thing is that even Jesus as the true Son of God, we have to understand how the world treated Him. Because they didn't understand. They didn't know. So, even as sons of God, we have awesome privileges and awesome status, but in this world, you're going to be treated just like how they treated Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that your status in God is no longer. World will never acknowledge it, never understand it. But no matter how the world will treat you, understand you are sons of God. And if world really believes and truly understand what that means, they will treat us differently. But to the world, it's foolishness. They don't understand. So they're not going to treat you the way that you should be treated. So legally, you have the honor of the father. You have the status of the father because of your relationship with him. But remember this too, that you have become sons of God, but your formal life, go to chapter 2 of Ephesians. You are children of God right now, but the Bible clearly says that you were like this. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. So understand, even as you understand that we have become children of God, but formerly you were children of wrath, children of disobedience, children of Satan. But God's plan was to make you, who were like that, make you into His sons. And that is what the gospel is all about. It's not because we were worthy to be His sons, but we were children of wrath, children of disobedience. And yet He still loved us as His sons. And He made us His children. Thus, you understand that Ephesians, you know, as Paul is writing these things, I guarantee you, he was very, very excited. I mean, you know, I was thinking about this with someone this week too, that these writers, you know, Paul and John and all these guys, they were writing, you know, as about to they write this, you know, their purpose is to what? To tell others about Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He has accomplished. Just imagine the excitement that they had as they were writing this. The interesting thing is the response of us who are reading this is just many times completely opposite. You know, I kind of joked around with people, even today, you know, if you have problems sleeping, the doctor should prescribe reading the Bible. Because that just puts you right there, you know. You go to sleep so easily, right? There's no excitement. But this is exciting stuff. Because Paul is, when he says that you are adopted as God's son, he's also announcing the new era has already come. The new beginning. Because in the Old Testament, there was someone who was called God's sons. And you know, Israelites. Now they, back then, they were God's sons. Now Jesus Christ came, and Paul is now saying to Gentiles, you are adopted as God's son. What is he doing? Go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. Now, let's say the master has a child. You know, baby. Now, that baby is going to grow up to be owner of everything. But when he is a child, he is no different from a slave. Because he has to learn from teachers who will be under the master. Even those teachers will be slaves. So in certain aspect, that child who is the owner of everything, he's still even lower than slaves, because he has to learn and he has to obey those slaves that who were appointed by his father to teach and tutor. Old Testament is that way. Old Testament is when God's sons were child, were very little children. That was the Old Testament. Let's keep reading verse 2. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, what happens? God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, the new era has come. The time that Father has set. Father says, now you guys are old enough to be master. No longer a child who is no different from children, you know, slave. But there is a time, like, you know, in America, 18 or, you know, whatever time that God has set. From then on, you are the master because you have grown up. You are no longer a child. That set time has already come. Jesus Christ came. And you are, verse 7, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Understand what Paul is doing in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. The Old Testament sons of God, even though they were sons of God, they were just like slaves. But the new beginning has come. Now, you are the true heir of God. So then, the position, the honor, and, you know, the status, privileges that belong to the master, belong to the true son, is now given to you in Jesus Christ. Amazing time that we're living in. Now, as the sons of God, we receive the love from the Father. But it is not general love. You know, God loves everyone in some sense. Because even non-believers, there's some sense that God shows love because he gives them, even non-believers, things to eat, things to wear. But it is not about that kind of love that you are receiving from the Father. It's a special love. You're receiving from the God the Father very special love. It's a love that only the Father can give to the Son. With that kind of love, he loves you because he is your Father. And like I said, the glory, the status, the position, the privileges of being a son of God is given to you. You know, even the world, you have all kinds of, you know, status, privileges. I mean, if you are like your son of the president, just think about the extra privileges that you will have. But know that those things, they are not eternal. It goes away. The worldly things will pass away. And that is not something that we are, that is not the purpose for us. But see, these privileges and the glory and honor and the, you know, the status that you have in Jesus Christ is forever. It doesn't go away. It's a forever thing. And you have it in Jesus Christ. Now, as Son of God, you have become a member of God's family. And it's not just you who became a Son of God. We all did. So we're brothers. And we need to have this understanding. Brothers, we must love. Look at what sin has done. Very first sin that we see in the Bible. Well, I should say the very first sin after we have fallen. What was that? A brother killing a brother. Am I my brother's keeper? Jesus has completely reversed it. Yes, you are your brother's keepers. You love your brothers. That's what the salvation of Jesus Christ has brought to us. It completely reversed what the sin has done. Now, you have given the Holy Spirit. And we read that Galatians passage, right? He's the one who makes us, enable us to call Him Abba Father. And in Ephesians 1:16, this Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. And He's the one who gives us this confidence, this certainty of our salvation. Romans chapter 8, let's read that, because it's a wonderful verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. I'm going to read from verse 16. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. So you are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs, fellow heirs with Christ. Everything that Christ receives, you have already received in Him. You are co-heirs with Christ. Now, the love that He has for us is the love that He has for His Son. And He is the God the Father. And He is, our Lord is the God the Son. Now, this relationship, God the Father and the God the Son, this relationship was existing forever and ever. See, what is amazing is that, you know, God the Father and God the Son, this relationship, what is lacking? What is lacking? Nothing. It's a perfect relationship. Do you think there's anything lacking? And yet, what is amazing about the gospel is that it says that into this perfect relationship, nothing lacking, there's just wonderful, complete, perfect harmony, love, and all that. But the gospel says now He invites us. Into that relationship. He invites us into that relationship so that This relationship that was forever, ever, ever, now we are participants of that relationship. I don't know if this doesn't excite you. I don't know. Why he would do that? Because he loves us. But why does he love us? I don't know. But he loves us. And he invites us into that relationship. So that we may be participant, who may experience and live in that relationship forever. He receives us as his son. That's what our salvation is all about. Always understand our salvation in terms of our relationship with God. It's not about do this or don't do this. It's not about do's and don'ts. That is not about our religion. It's about our relationship with God. Always think in that term. He loves you and we love him. And there's relationship. I mean, don't you think that just, you know, when you think about God the Father and God the Son and how they love one another, and it's beautiful, most beautiful picture. And what excites us, what makes us happy is that we're included now in that picture. We're part of that picture because of what Christ accomplished. That's why we read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, right? He is not ashamed to call us his brethren. Because of what Bible teaches us in this section, we have confidence that no matter what happens, everything that happens in our life happens for that purpose. To make us holy and blameless sons of God. That's the only purpose. Everything that has happened and everything that will happen, that's the only purpose those things have. Many times we might not understand why, you know, we have these questions, why that happened or what. But know that somehow it is still part of God's plan that all those things happen in our life for that purpose, to make us blameless, holy sons of God. That's why I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen 1 year from now. But I know what's going to happen at the end. We all know what's going to happen at the end. We're very confident and certain about what's going to happen at the end. So understand not only that he chose us and predestined us to be that blameless, holy sons of God. But even all the things that will bring that purpose to pass, even the process, even those are predestined. Everything that happens, they are predestined. But what is the method that God uses to make us his holy and blameless son? is through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Let's just read one verse and we'll wrap this up because I guess, yeah. John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 24. This is, as you know, the prayer of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is praying to His Father. 24. Father, I desire that they also, they, meaning you and me, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Am I reading the right verse? No, verse 23. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you have loved me. Now, with what kind of love does the Father love us? The same love that He has for His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, I don't know about you, but this is too much for me. This is too overwhelming. You know, this is the kind of truth that, you know, at like 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, you kind of get up and then you're still like so amazed and you have to bang your head against the wall and then really say, oh, I feel pain. It must be true. It's that kind of truth. God loves me with the same love that He loves His own Son, Jesus Christ. I don't know how this could be, but this is what the Bible teaches. Even before the foundation of the universe, God loved us. But He loved us as His sons. Even before the foundation of the universe. Now, everything that you see around you in your life, in church, is God accomplishing His plan. And this is according to His purpose. This is according to His will. It says, according to the kind intention of His will. And because of this, we rejoice. If God's will is for you to be His holy and blameless Son, who is going to stop it? If it is His will that you will stand before Him as a glorious sons of God, who is going to stop that? Your sins? Do you think your sins will stop it? Do you think Satan can stop it? Nothing. Nothing in this world can stop that. And that is His will for you and me. Gospel is wonderful. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that it is Your will that we would be blameless and holy sons of God, now and forever. Oh Father, Your love for us is just so amazing. How can I? How can all of us who are so sinful receive the same love that you give to your Son, Jesus Christ? Oh Father, let this love, your love, compel us to live that godly life that clearly witnesses what your Son has accomplished. Bless us, bless our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.